The world of kaiju cinema returned to a concept that lit the monster movie loving world ablaze nearly 60 years prior. Yes, it is another Godzilla versus movie, but one that apes the original that started it all. Can two titans of silver screen history coexist within the same blockbuster, or will there have to be a single definitive winner in this knockdown, drag out fight? Find out as we brave the theaters once more for a film that helped restart the movies after COVID. This is Kaiju versus History, Godzilla versus Kong.
Kaiju versus History. This is your Apex employee, rogue podcaster Miles, and joining me is an evil businessman who would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids from Stranger Things. Patrick, how you doing, bud?
Yes, I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for Millie Bobby Brown. How dare you? Good. This is quite a movie we got going on this week, Miles. Quite a film.
Yes.
One that, why don't I have it in my notes? When did this actually release?
This came out officially March of 2021.
Right. And I think the release date was the end of March for both a theatrical release, but also it came straight to, what was it called at the time? HBO Max?
Yes. It is back to its original name.
Okay. Well, yeah, I have very strong feelings about this film when it came out originally. And I think I've seen it one time since, but it's been a few years since I've watched Godzilla versus Kong. Well, did you see this in theaters? This was
a year
after the pandemic started. And that's when theaters kind of started going back to regular operations.
I can't remember if I think we did see this in theaters. I think this might have been our first movie back. If it wasn't, then yeah, I think it had to have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you? You said you watched it on HBO back in the day?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. And you know, the crazy thing is I never really stopped going to the movie theaters just because.
Yeah, you told me all about your irresponsible nature.
Well, I would go to the movies and there'd be nobody in them. So it'd be like a private screening. So I was all for it because there was no fear of getting sick or making anyone sick. And I was very desperate to support my local theater, which ended up closing. And, you know, in a hilarious twist of fate, has turned into an Amazon distribution center. So the online streaming really did win in that respect. But it would have been funnier if this was a Amazon movie and not an HBO Max film. But
yeah, and this is a movie. So, well, I guess before we get into everything, Patrick, tell us, what's the title?
Miles, you've heard about these versus movies they do every once in a while.
I have. I gotta say, when the actual official title was Godzilla versus Kong, I was so happy.
I don't know if there were some other things being played around with, like subtitles or what have you, but that is, from what I remember, when they were talking about in the trades, they were saying a Godzilla versus Kong movie, you know, and maybe
it was part of the original plan from the get.
Yes.
Was like after King of the Monsters. All right, we've got Kong Skull Island. We're going to have them all, because the original deal with Toho was supposed to end in 2020 with Godzilla versus Kong, which again, at the time, the world was a different place. The Godzilla's place in pop culture was in a different place when this original plan was made. And so the thought process was, okay, this might be our last chance with Godzilla, which certainly informs how the narrative was in this film, for sure.
Yeah, and
because this is a Kong movie starring a heel Godzilla.
Yeah, so that's the thing. You've got director Adam Wingard coming on board for this movie. He also directs the sequel to this.
Big fan of Adam Wingard. He, if you're a horror fan, he did all these micro-budget horror films before doing Your Next, as well as the 2014 kind of neo-noir classic thriller, The Guest. Missteps a little bit. Well, I personally like his Blair Witch movie, but his big misstep is that Netflix Death Note movie, which is real bad.
But it's interesting. They both, I mean, all the big studios and now Marvel as well have been tapping into horror directors to float these very huge blockbuster kind of projects. And you don't think it would work out, but it seemingly has, very much so, with Godzilla vs. Kong and the Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. I enjoy them a great deal.
And horror directors are people who have great vision that have to work with nothing consistently. Mm-hmm. So when you talk to someone who's got all these big ideas and like, oh, here's infinite money. Oh, boy, what can I do?
Infinite money glitch. Yeah, I mean, ostensibly infinite money, but so much of they were getting sunk into
CGI. If you were making movies for $50,000 and you get $200 million, it's infinite money to you.
Yeah, when they're spending like half their budget on like 3 minutes of special effects and then they have 40 minutes of special effects in their next film, it's quite a change. So the title of the movie is Godzilla vs. Kong. This is the first time in 21 years, I think, since there has been a Godzilla versus title in the main series.
Megaguirus is the last one?
Yes, right? Because after that was not Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, but Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
And then Tokyo so SOS.
I think and that then, it might have been Thai or versus in the Japanese, but that's not what we got over here. And of course, the 90s films were basically known as the versus series because they had verse in every single title, minus the first one. Yeah. But yeah, so it's, you know, I guess it is a little surprising, but what would you have called the 2019 Godzilla versus, you know, all kaiju? Godzilla versus King Ghidorah would have worked, but
I mean, you could have called it GMK. I love that it's called Godzilla King of the Monsters, because that really does, you know, solidify that character with all of the kind of favorite iconic kaiju.
I
was fine with that.
This is, of course, a very important note about this film's title is obviously very different from the 1962 film, nearly 60 years prior, King Kong versus Godzilla, in a couple of important ways. First of all, Godzilla is getting first billing in this movie, even though, like you said, this is a very much a King Kong movie with Godzilla being the bad guy.
My smartass answer is that this film is actually called King Kong and the Horrible, Terrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Because I am someone who's never been a Kong fan, and Legendary's Kong has been my favorite. But going into this, I was not Team Monk.
Well, it's like a very different character than the Skull Island Kong.
It
because
really, really is.
It's 50 years later.
Like, this is Kong is like Shrek, who is being forced into a situation he doesn't want to be in. And this, like, I have never related more to Kong, but like, he is so put upon in this entire movie. And there's so many times where he kind of sighs in resignation about what nonsense these stupid humans or this dumb lizard is making him do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of amazing, but I also like take great issue with how Godzilla is handled in this movie. And frankly, it really dings the movie for me.
Yeah, so it really should be Kong versus Godzilla if you're talking about who's the main character of the movie. But yeah, Godzilla is the, I would say, much more important pop culture character. Yeah, well,
no one cares about Kong
We've had two, like, you know, kind of plot moving forward Godzilla movies where the Kong was like kind of an origin story set in the past. So it makes sense. But the other thing, like I said, the most important thing about this, though, it is just Kong. It is not King Kong. In no point does anyone call him King Kong. So he's going without
his... Isn't the term King Kong technically what's trademarked?
Oh, I don't know about the technicality of that, even though in this movie and the next. Because
they call him King a lot in these movies.
I was about to say, in this movie and the next, he is getting, you know, he sits on a throne in this movie. Spoiler warning.
He bows to no one. He's a king of his next, own. Like,
yeah, in the next movie, he gets a kingdom, basically. I will say the other important thing about this title is in a lot of advertising and media, you would see this abbreviated as GVK.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Which is fine.
And that tied into their advertising kind of blitz for GVK, which was there was a whole bunch of Team Kong or Team Godzilla stuff that came up before the movie came out. And there was a lot of the conversation, Miles, was who's going to win? They're like, they're going to fight. There should be a legitimate winner. You know, what team are you on?
Well, this really does, despite the fact that it has the Godzilla versus Kong label, this really is a versus in the classic comic book crossover way, where they are enemies until a bigger threat surfaces and they are reluctant allies. This is essentially a condensed version of Hangman versus Swerve.
Oh boy, bringing it back to wrestling.
Always got to. And honestly, the further we get into the Legendary series, the more like wrestling these fights are. Well, and that starts here.
This is very wrestling coded because you do have basically a best out of three, two out of three falls match between them. At one point, what's the character's name, the doctor in this?
Rebecca Hall's character?
No, the Skarsgård. Alexander Skarsgård is Nathan Lind. After their second fight, he literally says, "Well, I guess that round goes to Kong." You know,
which, like, I was like, "Nah, it doesn't." He survived that round. You know me; I'm a big Godzilla.
Well, to me, Kong survived the first fight on the aircraft carriers, so
yeah, he survived, but like Godzilla clearly won that.
yeah. This one, I mean, he kind of knocks Godzilla out and then just sniffs at him and walks away. So I would say he definitely won that. They do have a third fight.
The thing about that is that the same battle, like Godzilla pops back up and then essentially kills Kong.
Yeah, I would say the third fight is very definitive. And I think it is why we can say Godzilla is the winner of these fights if you're looking for one winner. But in very comic book or wrestling coded kind of writing, then a worse enemy beats up Godzilla and Godzilla needs the help of Kong at the end of this film to defeat him. And if it were not for Kong, I mean, Godzilla might have been killed. It looks like he was about to get the death kiss.
Was coming off of a brutal fight with Kong, mm-hmm. So he wasn't 100%.
Yes.
So
Mechagodzilla cashed in his contract fight, and right after
Mechagodzilla's John Moxley, obviously
took on a weaker version of Godzilla. Which that's the basic plot, but the actual plot of the movie is. There's two and very Showa era characters and plots. And one of which.
That's what I love most about the Legendary. Everyone complains about the human stories in the Legendary movies. I mm-hmm. love them because they feel like someone gave a Showa director $200 million. And I love that so much.
This movie, you know, we talked a little bit about how Godzilla King of the Monsters feels like not just. Wait, Destroy All Monsters? Is that the one that the 1969 one?
Yeah.
I always get that confused with the.
It's 68.
All Monsters Attack. I'm thinking of All Monsters Attack. Yeah.
Oh, you are thinking of All Monsters Attack? The one with the little boy?
No. Destroy All Monsters is the one with the most kaiju.
Attack is the clip show with the Home Alone style.
Ugh. Goodness gracious.
Absolute classic.
This movie definitely feels even more Showa because we get the kind of reintroduction of the idea of Hollow Earth, which is a place that they go in the movie. We have Millie Bobby Brown sneaking around like a secret laboratory facility.
The Millie Bobby Brown, Brian Tyree Henry stuff that could have been the entire movie and I would have been thrilled. Tyree Henry is so good in this.
Oh, he's great. I think he's better even in the next movie.
Fully agreed.
It's a wild section of plots.
We also get Gillian Dennison, who is a New Zealand actor and usually so good. He's fantastic in Y2K and Deadpool 2 as the kind of best friend, and he and like Brian Tyree Henry have this great like false rivalry. It's so funny the entire time, and Millie Bobby Brown's clearly playing Brian Tyree Henry the entire time, but it's done so well. It's mm-hmm. her story is not as good in terms of her character stuff as it was the last time. She's not. It's a lot goofier, but that whole story is so Showa and so silly and so fun, despite the fact that I have a massive problem with how they explain this Mechagodzilla.
Oh, well, I mean, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I just to talk a little bit more about the characters. I really do like the introduction of, I mean, Alexander Skarsgård's character is fine, but Rebecca Hall as a linguist and her daughter.
Who seems to be here as a favor, because if you've not seen Rebecca Hall in things, this mm-hmm. is like someone who often is like given these harrowing Oscar-worthy performances in very dark films like Resurrection or The Night House, like a tremendous actress. And here she is just like, yeah, being the doctor and the surrogate mother to, they could not have picked a more precious little girl for this role.
She is going to be in Adam Wingard's next horror movie, I believe called Onslaught. I'm just looking at her IMDb here. Yeah, great actress. She is a Iwas, like the last surviving Iwas, adoptive mother of a young girl named Gia, who both of them are in the next Kong movie. So I think provide a good thread. I don't need them necessarily to be in the next movie, and I don't think the actors have been confirmed. I think we're instead getting the kaiju veterinarian played by what's his name from
Dan Stevens.
Yeah, from Legion, which I'm totally fine with. The unsung
hero of GXK.
Yeah, but so that I love them. I think they're great.
You could not have picked a better thing. I won't be upset if they're around in the next one in Godzilla X
Kong. No. I just don't think they need to be, because I think they have a great movie arc, and it really comes to a head between these two movies. I just loved their relationship, and probably one of the best kids in a kaiju movie since the Gamera films.
Without a doubt. This is, I mean,
love her relationship with Kong. Love the mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah, Major. Might be my favorite character in the legendary movies, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. She gets a good amount to do in the next one. She becomes kind of a moody tween. But
she's got good reason.
I will say, my goodness, Miles, there are some major casting problems I have, and I hate Adam Wingard, because there was a larger role for Lance Reddick in this film. I forgot he was in the movie.
My main note when scenes. I saw him as the head of Monarch was just, my commander!
Yeah. Well, why even keep those two scenes where he's with Kyle Chandler, who's also kind of a non-part of this movie?
He's here and that's it.
Yeah, it just seems like such a waste for such a great actor. But I could say the same about Jun Noguri plays Rin Sarazawa, the son of Ishiro Sarazawa. So trying to make a connection to the previous movie.
And they barely even mention his name.
Yes, he is mentioned one time. He becomes the pilot of the Mechagodzilla, but he's killed almost immediately when the final battle begins. It's just two characters / actors that are seemingly could have been written out of the movie. And
here's the thing. I don't disagree with you, but I will never, ever complain about having any time with Lance Reddick in my movies.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I wanted a good deal more. And there's a few actors that are just like,
I mean, I could have Lance Reddick versus Kong.
Deep voice off. But yeah,
has commanded me in the battle so many times the last decade.
There's just so many misses, and there's also just some very funny cameos. Ronnie Cheng plays like a Chinese grocery store, like corner store employee.
It's so funny.
Like 30 seconds in the movie. But yeah, it's just funny because he's kind of not a big actor, but he's on like The Daily Show and things like that now. So
yeah, and they cast Zee Zhang and Jessica Henwick in roles that didn't appear in the cut of the movie. I'm like, wow, you have like two amazing actresses that just are on the cutting room floor. It's insane.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Before we started recording, I mentioned to you that I went looking up because I was like, this has got to be the longest of the legendary films. This is the shortest, Miles. This is the longest feeling of the legendary movies. And I think it's because you have two different plots going in two different directions. And the characters don't even meet up. Like they're all in Hong Kong at the end of the movie, but none of them meet each other, right?
Pretty much.
It's so funny. It really is two films kind of smushed together in that way. A Godzilla one and a Kong one.
Here's my big problem with this. It stems from Mechagodzilla. Then there's the design. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll talk about the design in a little bit.
But so the way they did it, and it's kind of connected to, I think, one of the original Mechagodzilla ideas, with them using like the skeleton of the original Godzilla or whatever.
Yeah, like Kiryu from Against Mechagodzilla.
Right. So they, instead of Godzilla, they are using one skull from Ghidorah in the head and one skull to kind of connect telepathically. Yes. Here's the problem. I had to make sure. Mm-hmm. So I went back and watched the ending of Godzilla King of the Monsters. Mm-hmm. Two of the skulls get disintegrated and one gets eaten by Kong.
So, okay, great point, Miles. Great point. But Kong.
Did I just take for granted that, oh, that's a cool idea? Because sure, it is, but it doesn't make any freaking sense.
Kong either passed the skull through his bowels.
Well, Kong didn't eat the skull.
He just tore it off?
No, so Godzilla ate the last skull.
Okay. Oh, okay. But Godzilla
The other two got disintegrated when he was in burning Godzilla mode and his little thing.
You're forgetting, Miles. One head was ripped off halfway through the movie and is lying on the bottom of the ocean floor. So
that's one skull, though.
I was about to say the other skull had to have passed through a kaiju digestive system Godzilla spit it up Godzilla's, like an owl.
Yeah, that would have had to happen. I'm calling shenanigans on that.
The thing is, we don't even like see the skull within Mechagodzilla. There should have been a point
told about it.
Yes, we are told that it exists, but it's like we should see like half the it ripped open and see the skeleton somewhat. Or just it would have been cool if like there were kaiju bones incorporated into the Mechagodzilla design. I don't dislike the Mechagodzilla design.
No, me either.
Do I have one? Yes, I have my Funko Pop version of it, which I really enjoy. It is a little bit too, I don't want to say American because it's not American, but Transformers.
It's a little too American. No, I know exactly what you're saying.
It's too American. Michael Bay Transformers.
Yes, correct.
Robot. I do very much like the fighting action of this Mechagodzilla. And
there's a lot about that Mechagodzilla I like. I love the tail laser and the drill and all that stuff. It's not a bad Mechagodzilla, but I remember even in the theater or at home, whichever I was, I don't remember, looking at that skull, at a good point on the one that did fall off and they do connect, but being told that there's two and I'm like, I'm racking my brain on where the second one's coming from. unless he burped that bad boy up, like there's just no way.
We saw
that thing down like a ramen noodle.
We saw one of them in the post credit sequence for King of the Monsters, of course.
You are right. I forgot about that.
I guess I always assumed that was the one that was ripped off, but you are correct. They say very specifically there were two and they don't tell us where the other one came from, but the other one came from Godzilla's butt.
Maybe
long story short, you know.
The story itself is decent. I don't.
It's wild.
I do appreciate that the fact that they've gotten this Titan frequency, so they can kind of manipulate things. So Godzilla is basically tricked by this kind of heart that's using Ghidorah energy to simulate an unprovoked attack on American soil, which is how they kind of set things into motion
and turns Godzilla into the bad guy in both. I think the audience's viewpoint as well as the public in the film. So
which
they turn on Godzilla.
Pisses me off so much because it's like, did we forget where we came from these last two movies? Like,
so yes, because they mention how there hasn't been a credible kaiju sighting in the five years or whatever.
Yeah. Because Godzilla's been kind of, you know, chilling out.
Yeah. Godzilla became King of the Monsters and then all the other monsters kind of went into slumber, maybe? Who knows?
Well, you know, it's weird because, like, after they say this, but after the movie in Godzilla King of the Monsters, they talk about how, like, each monster has gone to, like, renew certain areas, and, like, the Siberian desert's now an oasis and all this stuff. So it's like, you know, pick one. But I do, like, one of my big problems is that Godzilla is kind of the heel here, because they love to, let's say, oh, well, it's their classic, you know, alpha titan way of things. And I just, for whatever reason, just don't dig that at all. Like, the fact that Kong just existing within any range just sends Godzilla into some crazy frenzy, I just dislike that. Like, I'm fine with them having an ancient rivalry and needing to settle it. That's great. Love that. And I love their actual fight in Hong Kong, because, one, it looks awesome. It looks like a wrestling match. Like, Kong's, like, hopping off skyscrapers, taking his big scale axe and doing cool stuff with it. I mean, it's a very, very cool kaiju battle. Like,
yeah, we'll say that battle especially really kind of puts this over in a lot of ways as far as kaiju versus movies go. Can we talk a little bit more about the two kaiju themselves, Kong and Godzilla, in this?
Sure.
I don't know how exactly the sculpt for this Godzilla changed. This is, I think it's called Wingu-zilla, maybe the design. I forget, because they name it after the director typically. I'm just not as big a fan. I'm not sure what they did for this version. I will say, animation wise, I really do like it. Oh no, this is still known as Doji Goji or Doge Goji. Is that right? Yes. Yeah, so this is a more modern one since Gary Goji, which was the Gareth Edwards Godzilla. But I do like, there's a very specific part of the fight towards the end where Godzilla crawls on all fours, something we've just, like, never seen before. And it looks so cool. He looks like Kaiju Crocodile. It's great. But yeah, I really like what they've done with Kong's design here. An older, bearded Kong. I mean, he's got a beard, right? There's no two ways about it, Miles. Look at this Kong. This is a beard, correct?
100%.
Okay, good. He looks like an old man, like you said. He's like, get out of my swamp.
Yeah, no, he 100% like is Shrek energy. I love his relationship with Gia. There's a lot to love about this Kong, and I also love that, like, he's constantly like, like, you can feel the deep sigh resonating in his facial expressions, and it's beautiful. It's the most I've ever related to any version of King Kong. I also deeply appreciate that they make a reference to the original King Kong versus Godzilla, when he, like, jams that axe down Godzilla's throat in the same way that he does the tree in the original. Oh,
there's so many good things. I love, it makes no sense, but that a whole bunch of, like, Chinook helicopters were able to fly King Kong to Antarctica. It's like, no, it's more believable that they use balloons in Godzilla versus, or King Kong versus Godzilla back in 62.
Yeah.
But that was great. Like I said, there's just so many Showa things, and things that honestly break my brain in the terms of, like, the science fiction / fantasy elements, because just three movies ago, Miles, we were in such a realistic kaiju world with the 2014 Godzilla. And now in this movie, we have Godzilla heat blasting a hole through the earth to Hollow Earth, like, how many miles away, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, how powerful is this atomic breath?
It also gets a little silly that way, because, like, you having a whole TV show to, like, talk about how difficult it is to get to Hollow Earth.
Well, yes, and that there's, like, portals involved, kind of. Yes. But maybe that's just to shorten distances throughout the world. But it seems like he bores a physical hole, which, by the way, Kong then falls or climbs up. He climbs up the side of this hole. And I don't know, it's just so funny when you try to break down the thing that really broke my brain, even in first watching, was the evil Apex Corporation is looking for an energy source to, like, fuel Mechagodzilla. And they take a core sample that is, like, the size of a can of Coke to analyze from the Hollow Earth, and they just scan it, and send the data of this energy signal back to the surface to replicate up there. And it's like, you don't need the physical material itself. You just need like a scan of this radioactive rock, and that's enough. It made very little sense. I thought they were going to take like a sample of it and then like take it back up and install it in Mechagodzilla, but it seemed like that was moving about as the speed of the plot needed it to at that moment of the film. But yeah, that's the thing. There's so many problems with this movie.
And I think they're all stemmed by, I mean, I truly believe this because this is what we were told for years, is that the Godzilla license would go back to Toho in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So that they could start their own Godzilla movies. I think Toho took for granted how popular this Godzilla would be. Mm-hmm. And especially once Godzilla...
The last time they sold the rights, you know, was 98 and as well.
But also, like, the fact that this particular film, like, that Godzilla is being credited for bringing back the movies, like, you'd be a fool to, like, okay, well, let them keep going and we'll work on our own thing. And it's worked out because studios have finally graduated from the idea that, like, audience members are gonna be confused if there's like another Godzilla movie out there. They realized, oh wait, we are hungry for these things, so yes, please put out Godzilla Kong the New Empire and Godzilla Minus One in the same time frame. I don't care. I'm gonna see them both, and so will everyone else, because they did.
Yeah, and you know, that's happened in the last year or so with Godzilla X Kong, the sequel to this film, coming out
Godzilla still plays second fiddle in that one, less so, he's less antagonistic. Yeah. But I wonder if it's because they just didn't know. Like, lose this any day. So if we can
We got to build up Kong.
And we'll talk about that when we get to The New Empire, which is a super fun movie. I consider it more fun than this one.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm about to give, I think, the harshest score of the legendary films to this movie, which I didn't think I would. But like I said, there are some script problems. This movie was a smash success for Legendary, for Godzilla, for Kong. I would think, a time when there's so many things going against it, the break-even point, because the movie costs about 150 to 200 million to make. Break-even point was 330 million. Worldwide, it did 470 million. And that's crazy during, you know,
during a global pandemic. I mean, again, this movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what Superman just did, you know, last month.
Right.
Which is, you know, we're fully back from the pando at this time, so that's a huge
we are, but people still kind of aren't always showing up for the movies. That has been something.
The other thing is, it came out on HBO Max at the same time, the same day, March 31st. So think about how much more it would have been if it hadn't.
You also have to take in consideration that also kind of led to what had such a strong response, because people, you know, everything was opening back up. People were desperate to get out the house across the nation, across the world. And you have this big marquee movie, Godzilla versus Kong, coming to the theaters. Yeah, I want to see that on the big screen, not at home. I've been inside for 7 months. Mm-hmm. I loved being inside for 7 months, but that's the whole story.
I wish I could work from home forever. My goodness.
But I mean, and this was the most successful launch in HBO Max's history until the next crossover movie they did with theaters and home, Mortal Kombat, which is getting its sequel this year. But I mean, I think you can't overstate that, as like people. This movie is credited for bringing movies back to theaters, and I mean, you cannot ask for better advertising for a Godzilla versus Kong movie. Like, two of history's greatest monsters on the screen again for the first time in, what, 60 years?
Yep, 59, I think, technically. Boy, but pretty close. Pretty close to 60. Yeah, and it worked. You know, they tried to keep it a secret at first that it was going to have a Mecha Godzilla, because I don't think in any of the initial trailers that it was shown.
There was a slight tease that people would kind of, I think that's Mechagodzilla. But it wasn't really known at first, for sure.
I think the trailers changed afterwards and they showed some more of that action. But this was really just billed as just Godzilla versus Kong. And I think when that started happening, I was a little unhappy because there were so many kaiju in the previous movie. I was so excited about some of the new kaiju returning, Mothra, Rodan. I was like, oh, why aren't they in this next movie? And it's because they wanted to focus on the grudge match between these two, but also a great climax with Mechagodzilla, you know, a little underused in the rest of the film, but it is, you know, touted as a big bad that they both have to team up with to defeat in, like I said, very comic booky ways, kind of Marvel way where the two heroes have to fight first and then they team up to, I don't know, take on.
Yep. And I mean, I don't mind that aspect at all. And I'll talk about this in the rating thing, but I really do wish they had more consideration towards Godzilla's character. I think some of that plotting needed to be better. And yeah, like, I don't mind them being manipulated to fight each other and come together. Like, all that is fine. And I mean, they completely waste Kyle Chandler here. He is just window dressing, but I really do love this silly, like,
we got so much in the crusade previous
with Millie Bobby Brown and Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah. So to be fair, after this movie came out, after I saw it, I immediately tried to get the Titan Chronicles, like, and Naked Podcast named that.
Oh, well, that would have been good.
I think it was already taken or something had already used it on social media, but I was like, oh, that's such a fun idea to do, like, dispatches from the Legendary Universe about the films. Yeah, I think that's a very funny plot. So there's just so much Showa coding all over this, and I didn't think this movie would have been able to have been usurped as far as a modern Showa era film. But then the sequel came along. But
then the sequel is like amps that up so much more, and it's basically a Mothra movie.
The sequel is insane. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that. But this movie, yeah, surprisingly pretty. Maybe it's the lowest of the Legendary films. It has a 76% on the Rotten Tomatoes by critics. And
not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, that's certified fresh. It has a 91% by audience, though.
I mean, because if you take
the previous movie was, people didn't like.
The time has been kind to that one, but people were wrong about King of the Monsters because they're morons. Yeah, I said it. But I think Richard Roper, well, in his Chicago Sun-Times review, kind of best perfectly kind of distills what this movie was to people. Godzilla vs. Kong is the kind of movie you can pretty much forget about almost instantly after you've seen it. But it's also the kind of movie that makes you forget about everything else in your life while you're watching it. And I think that is a great summary of this movie.
I think actually, let me just check. No, actually, 76% is the highest Legendary Rotten Tomatoes score. It's not the lowest. It's the opposite. It's 76 is tied with the 2014 Godzilla, which is wild because I really do like the previous Godzilla King of the Monsters has a 42%, and a spoiler warning, the next film is in the 50s.
Insane. That movie's a perfect 10.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the rating of this one, Miles. Where do you see your personal enjoyment for Godzilla versus Kong?
For my personal enjoyment, despite the fact that I do have plenty of issues with this movie, again, I dislike the fact that they opted to swerve and make Godzilla the heel here. I mm-hmm. don't think that's really warranted, especially after the last two movies. I get what they were trying to do, but it again gives Godzilla too much of an antagonistic flame. I understand that if you were coming from an angle of we're writing this thinking this is the last time we get Godzilla for the foreseeable future, so we need it out and we need to establish a protagonist that we can make more monster movies going forward, so Kong does kind of has a little bit more protagonist energy here. My biggest problem is that it's less Godzilla versus Kong and more Kong featuring Godzilla. That said, the movie is very fun. Like, I will not, for personal enjoyment, I am not going to say I didn't have a great time with this movie because it's a great ride. It really is. This is as much of a Universal style thrill ride as any of the other kaiju movies. It's super fun to watch. So in terms of my actual personal enjoyment of just sitting down and watching a flick, this still says an 8 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, I think I just trying to average my initial thoughts when I saw this movie back in 2021 and rewatching it now. It's so hard now because I know personally, I think a more enjoyable movie is coming next. But
a more enjoyable TV show, and like all this stuff is happening.
Yeah, I think I do put this one on the same scale as the 2014 Godzilla. I like it a great deal. And obviously, I would rewatch it as part of a rewatch of the legendary films. I think my go-to is still King of the Monsters. I watched that again, you know, recently for the podcast, but also just go back and watch it for fun. But I think the next film, Godzilla X Kong, is taking over that even. I had such a fun time with that in theaters.
Oh, it was a great time.
So I enjoyed this movie so much on its first viewing. And on subsequent viewings, it is dinged a little bit, but I still think I'm giving a 9 out of 10 from a personal enjoyment. Yeah, I originally was like, is this an 8 out of 10 for me? And it's right there on the cusp, I would say. If we did 8.5 or whatever, maybe it'd be there. But
it's our podcast. Maybe we should.
Yeah, we should change the scoring system.
After right at the end of the show. Episodes. Why not?
But as far as the technical goes, I think that's where I'm dinging it the most and giving it an 8 out of 10 miles. The technical side of things, like I said, there's some design elements that I didn't appreciate, but most of it is plot things, plot holes, plot devices that are introduced. That being said, 8 out of 10 is very good for the technical score. I just think it's the lowest of the series. There's stuff that's introduced that I really love that I wish they kept up more so. I love Kong's axe. I think Kong should get a new accessory every movie. You know, in Skull Island, he's got like the whip, the anchor and propeller from the boat. In this movie, he's got the axe. And then in the next movie, he's got the beast glove, which is the coolest thing ever.
The power glove and the power tooth.
I was about to say he's got a metal tooth as well. So they got to give him something. They got to give him like a full power armor or something in the next movie. Old Man Kong has got a monkey battle suit he's operating. Or, you know, go ahead and introduce Mechanikong into the series. I would love that. But that being said, this movie is great for that. I love the Kong lore that is added in. And it really, this movie more so than Skull Island is kind of basic. This movie makes Kong a character that is the most characterful Kong, I think, in any form of media.
I fully agree with that.
To say.
Fully agreed.
And part of that is he becomes Coco the gorilla. You know, he can communicate with the humans, which is something that Godzilla needs so bad. We need a psychic or something that can communicate with Godzilla.
Yeah, because in the Millennium series, you at least had Minya or Godzilla Jr. kind of communicating with a little boy.
Yeah, still not good, but I will say
that. Take that back.
Just steal it from the Gamera series. Steal it and have someone have a psychic stone that allows them to communicate with Godzilla.
What if the Americans did Godzilla versus Gamera before the Japanese did?
God, I would love it if they worked out the rights to do that in a legendary.
I'm sure DIA needs the money. I'm sure Legendary could be like, we will give you $200 million.
What about you, Miles? Where do you see yourself landing on
this one? Pretty hard for the script. Because with some of my design issues and some of my logic questions, I'm giving this one a 7 out of 10, and that falls a lot on this script. I think this script, while I appreciate the show of fun of it, I think it is very slapdash and sometimes a little lazy. I very much dislike the characterization of Godzilla throughout, because they don't give him a moment to really be Godzilla. He is constantly the antagonist for Kong. And I really dislike that aspect in a movie, Godzilla versus Kong, where we've had two heroic Godzilla movies, and then all of a sudden he's the antagonist, as if this was the Heisei era all over again. That really rubs me the wrong way. And so if I'm going to ding this movie anywhere heavily, it's going to be in the technical for that script. I'm kind of with you in that there's some odd bits in the designs here and there. I do like the bat creatures and the skull crawlers. And
the chicken hawks or whatever they're called.
Yeah,
they're weird.
I thought the heavies were.
War bats is the name. Oh, this movie we didn't even mention introduces Doug. We get Doug in this film.
Oh, yeah, we do get Doug. the heaves I thought were kind of dumb. The vehicles they had I thought were pretty stupid.
They're just very generic sci-fi kind of
I think
vehicles.
The comedy was very well executed. I loved all the stuff with the kids and Brian Tyree Henry. That whole story was a lot of fun. I love the Hollow Earth stuff. They did a great job depicting it. But yeah, I think the script doesn't help. And it really kind of suffers for me. I like this movie less not the more I see it, because it's kind of settled into like, okay, this might be my least favorite Legendary movie, but I think I like it a little bit more in terms of like popcorn wise than the first 2014 movie, but it's certainly like the lowest in terms of like it firing all cylinders. And that's definitely a thing for me. What did you feel about its place, evocatively in the nature of kaiju movies? Because this is our first versus movie in 20 years.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem to like, even though they're super antagonistic towards each other, doesn't feel like it earns the big versus title.
Yeah, I think it does good at making it a blockbuster spectacle. They sure. have
that
an
fight
amazing,
Hong Kong is awesome.
I think actually my favorite fight is in the aircraft, like on the ocean. It's such a weird setting, but seeing Kong have to jump off an aircraft carrier, a giant ship, and
Adam Wingard
Kong.
Clearly heard all the criticisms of Godzilla standing in the middle of the ocean in King of the
yeah,
Monsters.
He's very much a swimming beast in this. I enjoy so much of the spectacle of this film so much, and I think it earned kind of the hype behind it coming into it. It is very important because its popularity, I think, is going to push Godzilla forward into the future. Obviously Godzilla X Kong came out, but we are getting in 2026, I believe. Oh, 2027.
I'm super annoyed because I think the movie's already finished shooting and it's like, all right, come on. What are we doing here?
Yeah. They just finished they wrapped filming on Godzilla X Kong Supernova, which we know very little about at this point. Just from the title, people are thinking Space Godzilla, and no matter what they do, this movie a little less so than the next one, at the very least, is bringing together the Showa elements into the Legendary universe in such a way that I feel like is probably the most important film, connection wise in the Godzilla universe since the Heisei era, since some of those films. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving a lot of points here. I still think that, to your point, this is more of a Kong movie than a straight versus movie. So I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. I think it is very important for what it did for the series and for Godzilla, but more so it did so much for King Kong. There's so much character rehab that was done in this film. They could probably make 5 more Kong movies based on this character. Miles, what about you for its importance?
Yeah, but because they lean so heavily in Kong, I think we have to punish them appropriately. I'm actually right there with you. I think 8 out of 10 is okay. The correct score to give it. Because there is something this movie does, and we've mentioned this several times, that literally no kaiju film can ever, hopefully, get credit for again, is after a global pandemic, this movie is credited with bringing people back to the movies. Not only did it keep the franchise going and vibrant and kind of like really solidify, oh, Godzilla is as important now as it's ever been, but this movie is seen as the great like light back into theaters. And for many people, myself included, that means a whole lot.
Yeah.
And not only that, I think you this does see us going even more towards the Showa era. It certainly helps solidify the new version of Kong. And as many problems as I do have with this movie, there's so much this movie does right and does right by Kaiju Ega that I can't in good conscience really ding it too hard because of personal issues.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is weirdly enough a very important movie, and despite how we might feel about it. Yeah. And so I think that is important to bring about. So I'm right there with you, giving it an 8 out of 10 there.
Adam Wingard knocked it out of the park in this, and not only that, we'll have
made
a sequel.
Up for Death Note.
A sequel, yeah, he made up for it for sure. The next movie, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, costs less to make by Olin Tents, not by a ton, but probably they spent less on advertising. Yeah, and made more money. People were ready for a sequel, and I was in theaters for that one for sure.
Oh, I was too.
So excited. I almost saw it twice. I was like, this was so much fun. But as soon as it came out on, you know, online, I watched it again. Very fun film. It's going to be a different score. I don't know if it's going to be a 10, but I think it's going to be higher for
I will absolutely say the wrestling aspect is much higher in that one, and I love it.
So
we actively see a German suplex being done in that movie.
I've got a bit of a heavier 8 out of 10 for this film. You've got a little bit of a lighter one, but it's going to average out to an 8 out of 10 for Godzilla X Kong, which I think
What? Godzilla versus Kong.
Sorry, Godzilla versus Kong. I keep getting confused. I was not a fan of the spoilers. Godzilla X Kong, Godzilla versus Kong.
I think it's supposed to be pronounced as Godzilla Kong or Godzilla Cross Kong because it uses the cross.
Yeah,
the X is a cross. So like, no one knows how to pronounce it, myself included. But I think it's supposed to be Godzilla Kong: The New Empire,
which is the lowest rating for a legendary film, I think, because we gave King of the Monsters obviously got a 10 out of 10. Same thing with Kong Skull Island.
And we gave that 10?
I gave it a 10. You gave it a soft 9, so it did average out. 2014's Godzilla.
It was a 9, right?
Right? It must have been. Yes, a 9 out of 10.
I gave it a 9.
I gave it a softer 10, so I think that's why it... So this is probably the lowest of the series, spoiler warning, because we only have one more movie after this right now, but it's still very good. It still gets
it is not a bad score.
8, 9, 10s category, which is a great film for us. So right now, yeah, I think Legendary is up there with the Heisei films, which is surprising to me, at least. Still going strong after 5 mm-hmm. films.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we have a bit of a wait for Godzilla X Kong. That is going to be episode like 237, and this is 209. So we got a ways to go, a few years as well, as far as between them. They about 3 years difference between those movies, 2021, 2024. So yeah, it makes sense that 2027 will be the next entry, the third entry in the Godzilla and Kong crossovers, and the 6th legendary film overall. Alrighty, that's going to do it. Folks, you can find us online at Kaiju Versus History, on social media at Kaiju Versus History, email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com, and find us on the Cosmic Crit Discord channel. We have a whole sub thread for Kaiju Versus History where we talk all things Kaiju. I think... What was the most recent thing we chatted about in there, Miles?
In the Kaiju versus History?
People have been posting a whole bunch of fun Godzilla products. Kyle posted about
that guitar that Takashi Miyazaki designed is pretty sick.
The Godzilla card game that came out this year, I believe. And gosh, I forget if we mentioned the last time we recorded, but Jacob posted pictures of the Alamo Draft House that is Godzilla themed. Great pictures. Thank you so much.
Yeah, a lot of cool posters.
Yeah, that was a month ago, so I don't remember if we talked about it in an episode since then. That is going to do it. Miles, what are we talking about next time?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we turn back to Netflix for another Godzilla project. Uh-oh. That's right. Back-to-back Godzilla episodes for the first time in about 70 episodes. Or at least since we've finished the Millennium series. Does Netflix deserve another shot after the, I think middling is too kind, but middling review of their Big G animated series? Is this series too cerebral and odd for the average kaiju enjoyer? Find out the answers to those questions and more next time on History versus Godzilla Singular Point.
Bum, 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 bum.